following is a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com.
All right, Refuge Family, once again, truly a blessing, really is a blessing to be with you and to just be a small part of what the Lord is doing to bring encouragement, to infuse courage into his people at this time of the coronavirus. And we really do pray that they would be that very thing, a source of encouragement. And also praying for our family, our Refuge Family. Missing you so much and getting to see some of you in our food distribution on Monday and Tuesdays at 11 for Refuge Family. It's so good to see you and to pray with you, but that's just a small portion. And so when we hit the other 99% of the Refuge Family, it's going to be so good. It really is. But in the meantime, this is where the Lord has us, right? And certainly the Lord is sufficient in all things. He'll get us through this, and not just get us through it, but allow us to thrive, right, in this time, and not just survive. So today's chat is going to be by way of David Taylor and at his own home. So let's check it out right now. All right.
Hey, how's it going, Refuge Family? This is Pastor David here with today's Fireside Chat. Welcome to my home again, right? My couch, my beautiful wall with a beautiful picture, right? This is home right there. Welcome. I'm excited and glad, blessed to be able to share what God has been showing me in my personal devotional time. And I don't know if you've had this. I'm assuming you have experienced something like this before, but it goes like this. You're reading the Bible, okay? Maybe many of you that are tuning in right now, you've been believers for a while, for a long time, longer than I've been a believer. And so I got to believe that you have experienced this as well. You read the Bible, you read scripture, and it blesses you, obviously. God speaks to you. Why? Because it's God's word, and he tends to do that. He just tends to be himself and speak to you and encourage you and exhort you. And but you read the Bible, you read scripture. Maybe you've read the Bible. I don't know what kind of plan you have. Maybe you read it in 2 years, a year, whatever. But you come back to a passage that you know you have read before, maybe even many times. And for whatever reason, it hits you in a different way. It hits you in a completely new way. Maybe you have fresh ears and you're hearing it in a different way. You have eyes to see more deeply. I don't know what it is, but God speaks to you in a different way with the same verse or the same passage of scripture. And this is something that happened to me this past week. I'm kind of bouncing around right now in my own devotional time. Right now, I'm currently in the book of Leviticus, and I'm in Proverbs right now. And I've read those books, you know, before many times. And I'm in Leviticus, right? And this is a book, and you've heard people say it can get monotonous because there's lists of different laws and ceremonies and you know, and all these different things. And people can say, oh, it's kind of boring, you know. Right now, I'm in the middle or towards the end of Leviticus. I'm in Leviticus chapter 19, and I read something, and it hit me in a completely new way. And to me, I don't know if it's the fresh eyes, fresh ears, or whatever it is, but God breathed a fresh, the only way I can describe it, it was just a fresh take, I guess you could say. And as I was reading this, I was like, dang, like I am so glad this is in the book of Leviticus. And this speaks so much to the nature of who God is, which we'll get into a little bit later. And so I want to be reading from Leviticus chapter 19, and then I'm going to read a couple of other Bible passages from the New Testament as well. And this is something, like I said, God spoke to me about a week and a half ago. And so the fact that it's still on my heart and the fact that I've been telling other people about this really makes me think this is not just something that was for me, but it's something that I think we need to know as well. And so Leviticus chapter 19, I'm going to read verse 33 and 34. I'm going to read it slowly because I want to kind of receive it again, and I want to sit under this. I don't want to just read it and not have my heart and my mind present. I want to meditate on these words as I'm reading them. So Leviticus chapter 19, verse 33 and 34. And if a stranger dwells with you in your land, you shall not mistreat him. The stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you, and you shall love him as yourself. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Now, interesting that this is in here in chapter 19. This whole chapter is literally, if you have a heading, not that that's canonical, right? But it says moral and ceremonial laws. Like, this whole chapter is just the laws, the different laws that they are to partake in, that they are supposed to do. And smack dab, or not smack dab, but towards the very end of this chapter, you have this nugget in here that is so sweet and so good, right? I want to read it one more time. And if a stranger dwells with you in your land, you shall not mistreat him. This is Old Testament. The stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you, and you shall love him as yourself. That sounds very familiar, right? You shall love him as yourself. A little bit more on that later. For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. Now, as I was reading this in my own devotional time, and I'm like, okay, I'm reading through all these different laws, and I'm like, that's interesting, very interesting, right? And I come across these two verses right here, this passage right here. I read this, and I'm like, this is so Jesus. This is so Jesus. This is what he does. This is his MO, right? We're going to treat the stranger, not even treat him, we're going to love him. We're going to love him as we love ourselves. You keep reading throughout the Old Testament, what you'll see is a God who is so consistent in his nature to reach out to the outcast, to the stranger, to those who are, shoved aside, right? And you see that in the heart of Jesus throughout his whole entire ministry. I don't know why this passage blessed me so much. Maybe it's because I've heard for a very long time an argument that kind of goes like this. Why is the God of the Old Testament so much different from the God of the New Testament? Maybe you guys have heard that before. I know I've heard that before many times. And I read stuff like this and I'm like, and not just this, but consistently throughout the Old Testament. And I'm like, man, God is compassionate. God is merciful. God is loving consistently. I so love this. I feel like if I were to ask people randomly on the street and read this, you know, or ask, you know, maybe a group of Christians and not give the address to this, not say it's in Leviticus, and if I ask them where they think this passage was found in, I would say the majority of the people might say that it's in the New Testament because the tone of this whole passage is compassion. You see a God who is compassionate. If a stranger dwells with you in your land, you shall not mistreat him. Don't do that, right? The context of all of this as well is don't be like the people of the land that you're about to inherit. Do not be like them. I'm calling you to be holy. And holy people do not mistreat strangers. The stranger who dwells among you shall be to you as one born among you, and you shall love him. You shall love this stranger, this outcast, right, as yourself. Why? For you were strangers in the land of Egypt. I am the Lord your God. There is a great call for you and for myself as believers to never forget where we came from, to never forget where God pulled us from, plucked us out of, right? Every single one of us has a story. Every single one of us has a colorful past, some more colorful than others, granted. But we have the, I don't even want to say ability, we do this often where we have been saved radically by Jesus. God has drowned us in a sense with his grace and thrown his arms around us as a loving father. And we can see people that act and live as we once did, and we forget where we came from and we mistreat them, right? I love the heart of this passage that says it does not matter if they are a stranger. You treat them like yourself and you love them. You love them. I believe this is a New Testament principle as well. In the book of 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, It says this, it says, "Dear friends, let us love one another, for love comes from God. Everyone who loves has been born of God." Again, in 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 8, it says this, "Above all, love each other deeply." I love that. Love each other deeply, because love covers a multitude of sins. And maybe this one is why it sounded so familiar. The book of Mark, Gospel of Mark, chapter 12, verse 28 through 31. "One of the teachers of the law came and heard them debating. Noticing that Jesus had given them a good answer, he asked him, 'Of all the commandments, which is the most important?' 'The most important one,' answered Jesus, 'is this: Hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. Love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and with all your strength.'" Verse 31, "The second is this: Love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." I'm also reminded in the gospel when they're like, okay, well, Jesus, who is my neighbor? Right? Is it the dude that lives, you know, next door? Is it the guy that lives across the street? I'm going to need some real parameters here, God, because I don't want to love somebody who maybe is not my neighbor, right? That's kind of the heart of why the people were asking, right? Who really is my neighbor? How much love do I have to show these people? And Jesus, you know, shares a parable with them and really shows them, listen, your neighbor, believer, your neighbor, Christian, brother, sister, is anybody you come into contact with, pretty much. And so he's saying, love your neighbor, right? Go out and love your neighbor. When I read the passage in Leviticus, that is the immediate connection I made. When it's talking about not mistreating the stranger, treating him as yourself, loving him as yourself, I thought of that passage in Mark. And I thought about that parable where Jesus talks about loving your neighbor and going, you know, the extra mile and all of that. My encouragement for you guys today, and my encouragement for myself that I need to be speaking over myself all the time, we're in a very interesting time, a very weird time, as all of you know. And when we think about, like, what does it look like to love the stranger today or to love our neighbor, right? Some of you are kind of sheltered at home right now. Some of you, I know there's a lot going on. How do we practically love our neighbor right now? What are some steps we can do to love our neighbor, to treat the stranger in a sense nicely and to love them? How can we do that? I think right now we live in a very interesting historical time. We live in also a time that we need to be very strategic in the way we go about doing things, right? And I got to believe that you, that myself, that wherever you're watching, that God has graciously allowed you to be where you're at and has placed you where you're at and has given you a sphere of influence where you're at right now. If you physically don't feel like you can go outside or go and hang out and do all that stuff social distancing wise, God has given us and blessed us with technology, right? I'm coming at you live from my home right now. This is a blessing. I think a very practical step that you could take, that I could take, to be there for our neighbor, to love our neighbor as ourselves, to go the extra mile, is to spend time today, tomorrow, just weekly, calling people that maybe you have not called in a while. Call them, ask them how they're doing, ask how you could be praying for them. Sit there, be present with them, listen. Maybe don't call for any other reason than just to be like, you know what, for the next 30 minutes, I just want to be a listening presence to this person. I want to love on them. I want to love them as I love myself. I want to be the hands and feet or even the ears. I want to be the compassion of Jesus to my neighbor, to this person. And so guys, that is my prayer. That is my encouragement for you guys today. I know kind of disconnected in some places, but this is just the way that the Lord has been speaking to me recently, raw, and I love it. So let me pray for you guys and let's do that. Father, I thank you that your heart is one of compassion, is one of mercy. God, I thank you that from Genesis to Revelation, you are a God who's consistently loving. You're a God who is consistently going after the one, showing ample love to the outcast, to the stranger. And Jesus, that is all our stories. We were all once outcasts, and you came after us, and you loved us, God. I pray that we would be vehicles of your compassion, vehicles of your love. I pray that we would take our call as believers seriously, more so now than ever. And we would understand, Jesus, that you have placed us here, and there is a ministry for every single one of us. Reveal that to those who do not know what that is. And God, for those of us who do know, I pray that you would just ignite a fire that cannot be quenched, God. Jesus, we thank you for who you are. Thank you for being consistent and constant, eternal. Thank you for being good. And thank you for being in control, especially when we are not, Jesus. We love you. We thank you. We praise you, and we ask these things in your name. Amen. All right. God bless you, Refuge. See you next time.
This has been a presentation of Refuge Calvary Chapel Huntington Beach. For more information about our ministry, please visit refugefamily.com or call 714-891-9495. Set free.